Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000 of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out. He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right. Hopefully people have recovered from this past weekend, which was Thanksgiving. But, of course, we're revving things up for Christmas, okay, which is just a matter of weeks or even days away. Today on It's My House, I'll jump off topic or topics. Milton Hershey, Booker T. Washington, and Adam Smith. And we got two people on the road, so we're going to have them in here in a moment. They're on a road trip, rather, I believe, to South Florida. But in any event, Milton Hershey, when you go get a Hershey bar, if you still eat those, or if you have some of the products that are made by the Hershey Candy Company, like my favorite, my all-time favorite, my favorite candy are Reese Cups. Love them. But Milton Hershey, Hershey, Pennsylvania, started out as a factory town. He organized Hershey, Pennsylvania, because he wanted a place where his workers could live. They can own homes. They had a school there so they can educate their children. You know, the company took care of all of that. So Milton Hershey, Booker T. Washington, at the beginning of him organizing Tuskegee, well, it's now Tuskegee University, but it, back then it started off with a shack. But in order to make revenue, they had to learn how to make bricks and nails, and that helped finance those early buildings and structures and infrastructure at what we now call Tuskegee University. Let's see. Adam Smith wrote the book Wealth of Nations, and the book, it's probably 1,000 pages or something like that. It's or at least 5. But what I got out of that book, and I'm just, because I wanted to put this out here, I'm picking up from Friday, money. You know, I think a lot of people really don't know what money is in the full sense of the word. So we're going to get a definition of money and go from there. But so Adam Smith, the way I sum up his book, Wealth of Nations, is the wealth of any nation is not in its currency or legal tender. The wealth of any nation, it's in its people. But I do recommend the book, Wealth of Nations. Social capital, we'll talk about that. Social capital economy. I've written on our program notes here on Blog Talk Radio. If you go to our scrolling marquee right here on Mark for today's live stream, I have a definition of social capital economy. What is social capital? The definition, now this is not mine, this is what I got offline. What is social capital definition? In financial terms, social capital basically comprises the value of social relationships and networks that complement the economic capital for economic growth of an organization. Description. Social capital is an important constituent of the prosperity of a company or a town or a nation. All right? So there's always been a social capital economy from day one with me. Adam and Eve was a social capital economy. Cain and Abel, when they were added to the family, it's the history of man from day one. It's a social capital economy. Now, the other thing that we need to look at today, and because I'm putting this out here because some people need to learn how to operate. How can you operate financially without cash? Because a lot of people don't know how to do that. Is we're living in the peer-to-peer economy. Let me give you the definition of that. The peer-to-peer economy is a decentralized model whereby two individuals or more interact to buy and sell services directly with each other or produce goods and service together without an intermediary third party or use of a incorporated entity or business firm. Now, let me read this definition again. Okay, peer-to-peer economy. Peer-to-peer economy is a decentralized model where it's two or maybe more individuals interact to buy or sell goods and services directly with each other. Now, directly with each other. Very important term. Directly with each other or produce goods and services together without an intermediary third party. Legal tender, the United States dollar, the euro, the British pound, the Mexican peso, the Filipino peso, the Chinese RMB, the Tokyo yen, the Swiss franc. We can go on and on and on. Those are third-party tools. Money or legal tender is essentially one of the tools that's available when we're talking about social capital. It's not the only tool. It's just one of them. In my house right now, I've got some money from a Asian country. I thought it changed all my money back before I left that particular country in Asia. And I found out, oh, man, okay, well, you know, I didn't change all my money over. Now, I can take that money and go to any merchant in the town that I'm in and try to buy a McDonald's hamburger, a loaf of bread, Chinese food, anything. Get gas at the gas station. There's no merchant in the town that I'm in, and it's got over 100,000 people that live here, that's going to accept this money from this particular Asian country. Same thing with the United States dollar. I can take the United States dollar to over 100 countries around the world. Now, there's a place I can go. If you know how to go to the currency exchange, you can do that. But I'm talking about just bread and butter merchants. Or somebody needs to pay a hospital bill in a particular place. They're not going to accept that money. Government-issued legal tender, better known as the United States dollar, British pound, Swiss franc, Mexican peso, Bayesian dollar, you know. Once it's outside the borders of that country, unless you know where to go to a foreign exchange place to exchange the money, that third-party intermediary known as money is no good. is simply a tool. It's a social capital tool. So depending on your particular situation financially, you need to learn how to use various social capital tools, and you have to recognize in a social capital economy, that's always existed. It's always existed. The means of currencies have changed, but it's a social capital economy. And now more than ever, there's a peer-to-peer economy. I don't own a car. The two I had, I got rid of them, what, 2-3 years ago. I've been to 13 countries, and if I needed transportation, I had access to it. That's the primary reason why I stopped driving, you know, getting a car. Now, if I needed something for personal use, I got two apps on my phone. I got Uber, I got Lyft, and I have social capital that's not on Uber and Lyft in several cities around the world that if I need a ride anywhere at any hour of the day and the night, I can get it. And that's without Uber or Lyft. But we live in a peer-to-peer economy, and we also live in a social capital economy. And some of the other things that we'll go through, and we'll go through these two, you know, this, what is Social Security or real Social Security, how to operate with cash. Then we'll take a look at family resources wealth. Family is really your first source of wealth when you come onto the planet. And then natural resources as well. And all these things can be converted in and out of whatever particular financial resource you need at the time. Some natural resources, matter of fact, all natural resources can be converted into any type of government-issued legal tender if need be. But in some cases, like, for instance, I was watching a video yesterday. There's some places in Africa, and I'm sure in other parts of the world too, where in order to marry this guy's particular, you know, the wife, in order for this guy to marry his wife, he had to give to the family 80 cows. Not any old cows, but a certain type of cows that he had to present to the family. And that's what he had. That's currency. Notice I said cows, not dollars or shekels or shillings or anything like that. In some parts of rural India, in order to take on a bride, the man has to provide a toilet to the family. Now, I don't know if that's going to be a composting toilet or a flush toilet. But these days, you got composting toilets, you got flush toilets with the water, you got incinerator toilets. I mean, there are different type of toilets out here today. But we had to look at, like I said, once again, legal tender, dollars, pesos, RMB, whatever government issued legal tender. Those are just tools. Those are just some of the, just some, not all, of the financial tools you need. Now, that's where partnerships come in at, joint ventures come in at, and different ways you can finance things. But you had to know the race. So we'll be going through those, plus the history of money, throughout this week, along with, you know, more information on Adam Smith and Milton Hershey, and how we're going to incorporate that in what we do. So with that said, let me get to the phone lines here. I believe we have two gentlemen on a road trip. So good morning, Chris and Carlos.
Good morning.
How's it going,
LA? Well, I believe you guys are on a road trip or about to take to the road. So fill us in.
I'm on the road right now heading towards Miami. I'll get off for a second. I'm in a convenience store. 1 second.
All right.
All right, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Okay, so you're on your way to Miami. Are you in, what state are you in right now?
We're still in Virginia. We just left Falls Church. We're probably like, I don't know, maybe 10 miles out. We just stopped for some coffee. We're driving down to South Carolina, spending the night there. And then the next day we're going into Miami. And getting ready for Art Basel. We got the truck loaded with the art. I haven't slept. I was up all night. I was setting up the metaverse space. We've got I took all the art and put it up in a virtual space so people can go visit.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, super excited, but a little tired.
Well, I can imagine. I guess you were, well, thanks. You just got through with Thanksgiving weekend, so I'm sure you were busy for that. And then you had to load up for the weekend.
Yeah,
you know the trip, I would do it too. When I made that trip from D.C. down this way, I would start out a little bit earlier. Well, I would try to beat rush hour traffic. And then I would drive till it got dark or dusk. And then I would pull into a whole, a Motel 6 or whatever, and, you know, sleep the night and then get up in the morning and just bring it on in from there. So you're doing basically the way
That's
I would do
plan.
That same trip.
That's our plan. Yeah. We want to take it slow, you know, instead of doing, how long have we been driving? We're getting to South Carolina?
Yeah, we're going to South Carolina.
South Carolina is the first stop overnight, and then we drive the next morning, and we'll be in Miami by then.
Yeah. Well, it's a straight shot, 95.
Is it 95? Yeah, 95.
Yeah, it's 95 all the way down.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny, kind of funny. I was struggling to get a room and book stuff, and then I realized I have a cousin that lives in Miami.
After I had booked
the Airbnb. No, I had already booked it, and then also my friend that I'm driving down with, he had also booked a hotel. So, you know, such is life. We should have I should have thought a little better, but, you know, I wasn't thinking at the time. I just forgot that I had a cousin there.
You got a little social capital there already, and you'll gain more once you're there as well. So now this event that you guys are going to, what's it called again?
This is the Fridge Art Festival during Art Basel Week, and right now I'm with Doug Sanford. He's an incredible photographer. He's driving down. He's kind enough to drive down in his. What kind of truck is this?
The Ford E350 van.
He's got a Ford E350 van. It's huge. He's got a bed back there. It's like a utility truck, so he had plenty of room to put everything. And we're just going to take it nice and slow and enjoy the trip. We're super excited. I cannot wait to get down there. And you guys got to check the metaverse space that I spent all night setting up. It's pretty incredible. I've got gigantic fish floating around. I've got all the art put up. I've got a video of the greenhouse going, you know, that explains how the greenhouse works. I got another video going that some of the art that was generated using artificial intelligence from one of the artist's original artworks. And LA, I was talking on Clubhouse yesterday, and I figured out how we can fund this easily without any outside investment.
Okay, good.
There's a group out of Pennsylvania called that does stuff for vets. They do, it's something like Liberty Camp or something like that. But basically, it's a nonprofit that houses vets in Pennsylvania area, okay? And you know what they do?
Okay.
They raffle off a brand new truck. They raffle off a brand new truck. And all the proceeds go to building, you know, to helping the vets. So I'm thinking, why don't we raffle a $40,000 greenhouse? We sell, you know, it's got to go through a nonprofit. That's the only way you can do the raffles legally.
This is why, you know what? Excellent example. That's what I'm talking about. If social capital can go a long way, and social capital can be converted. You just gave an example. That's an excellent strategy.
Yep.
You know, raffle off the greenhouse.
Yeah, and you know, one person is going to get a $40,000 greenhouse for like $20, and we're going to make $80,000. You know, we'll double it easily. And now all that money now can go towards, you know, building the next one and the next one and the next one. And then pretty soon we're financially, you know, ready to go, where we can have them, you know, built and ready to go. So that came from that group.
I'm putting that in my notes. That is an excellent idea. Okay. I'm putting this in my phone here. That's an excellent idea.
We can also raffle off a dream home. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a tiny one.
That's true. That's a good point.
So
we could actually build, you know, what we should do, build the version, you know, the home with the greenhouse version, the combo. That would be really, really cool, like an Earthship type design, you know, with the greenhouse in the front, the water wall, and then the humans in, you know, in the back. We've already got a design for it. You know, architect already designed for it, and it's on the front of the patent. It's a gorgeous house. It's a two-story, and it's got all steel construction. It's got the big beams, and the whole south is glass.
Excellent, man. What a way to start the day off, start the week off.
I told you so.
You're right. I told you so. You're right. You're absolutely right. Now, Chris, you're coming from another direction headed south. You're coming from Illinois, when I'm sure you'll be glad when you hit Miami or the warmer parts.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking to actually, I'm probably flying down.
Okay.
Make it easier on my end.
Okay.
Than me trying to drive by myself down there.
All right. Well, flight time, is about a 3-hour flight, something like that.
Yeah,
that doesn't include if you have a stop off or anything like that, but you know.
I got.
All right. Well. Now are you leaving today? You flying out today, or are you flying out tomorrow?
I'm flying out tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be that. Well, it's either way you look at it, it's a road trip, so to speak. Now, both of you. Now, what are some of the activities that Chris didn't mention that, you know, and then website, if you have the website so people can follow what you guys are doing.
HopeForHousing.org is the website for the Charity for Hope. And we've got this metaverse link, and, you know, it's amazing. You know, Carlos done an amazing job on it. He's tired, but it was well worth his effort because I was going.
Yeah, because I know when I popped in the room on Clubhouse yesterday. Well, both of you are always doing something, but I know Carlos was in and out doing stuff. So, Carlos, how much sleep did you get overnight? Did you go to bed at all last night?
No, I didn't get to go to sleep because, you know, I was sitting there laying in bed and I couldn't sleep, and I was saying, you know, we're going to this art show, and it's supposed to be about technology and that kind of stuff. And I said, you know what? I should put all the art that we're going to be, you know, our architect, Maria Babliak, she's an incredible artist and incredible architect. She's the one that designed the little mini greenhouse that we have in the flyover video on dreamhabitat.eco. That's the website if you want to see the Dream Habitat video. Dream Habitat.
Oh, you know, I saw that yesterday. Yeah, I saw that video yesterday, man. That was very well produced, very well produced.
Yeah, and, well, she, you know, not only is she an architect, but she's also an interior decorator, an artist, and she also teaches art. I'm going to be taking art lessons from her because she's incredible. Anyways, you know, I wanted more people to be able to see her art because, you know, when you have foot traffic, you know, only a certain amount of people can see what you're doing. So I said, you know what, I got to stay up and bite the bullet and get all that art up. So it is pretty incredible. I mean, it's hard to describe. It's a template. It's on Spatial. It's on Spatial Metaverse, Spatial. And if you search Dream Habitat, you'll find it. The room is live right now, and it's huge. Mm-hmm. The area is probably, I don't know, it's got like four auditoriums. There's a movie running in one of them that explains how the greenhouse works. On the other end of it, there's a movie running with some art on it, and then there's two galleries of art. Most of the art is from Maria and her mom, Arena, but I did put some of my digital art up there, and, you know, I didn't put any prices or anything because it's just AI art. It is pretty good, though, and I think what we're going to be doing is we're selling physical pieces, but I've generated artificial intelligence versions based on the physical pieces. And what we're going to do here at Art Basel, I'll say if you buy one of the physical pieces, you're also going to get a one-of-a-kind AI-generated version that you can keep and make it into an NFT, do whatever you want with it, make mugs, T-shirts, whatever you want. Because the person that buys the original, they're going to have ownership of everything related to that. So pretty exciting. Right. Chris is bringing, I believe, Chris can talk about the art he's bringing from this incredible veteran that like has produced TV shows and documentaries. I'd like to hear the story from Chris again, but that's what we're bringing.
Okay, Chris, what do you got for us?
Yes, I'm going to be having some artwork and a book from Ed Lefty Malbach. And if you Google search him, you can probably find his website, but it's edmalbach.com. And I'm wanting to say it's Malbach. And he is an amazing man. He's a Vietnam veteran from the early 60s. He was in Life magazine when he was in Vietnam. He's done some movies, and he's just an incredible artist. He has done some over 2,000 pieces of art, and on his website, those pieces will be for sale down there at the art show. But he has all of the original pieces, and so when people are looking at the pictures or the digitals, they'll be able to actually get, just like he said, the original version and all the rights that goes with it. So, yeah, I'm excited about all the different things. I had many other artists get a hold of me, but this was a short time thing of being able to get somebody's stuff together and a lot to put on Carlos and all them to be able to try to get it all to the metaverse. But
no.
We're here getting it done. So it's definitely, you know, people are going to be able to buy houses there. I have financing there. I've got licensed real estate agents there. Because we want people to be able to dream up the way they want their house to look and make that artwork happen. Might even have a...
Now, is this a week-long event? I mean, you guys are in transit today, so... How long, I mean, are you guys are traveling today and tomorrow? So I imagine what this does. It start that? Is it starting today, or does it start on Wednesday?
No, it starts tomorrow, the 29th through the 3rd, is the event.
Okay, all right. Oh, so you got a weekend in there? Well, hold on. When's the first Wednesday?
I don't even know.
Tomorrow's the last day in this month, right?
I've been running so hard, these days have been happening quickly.
Yeah, because this month has only 30 days, and then December has 31 with New Year's Eve. So, tomorrow is Tuesday, that's the 30th. So, Wednesday is December 1st.
Now, let's see, tomorrow would be Tuesday, or wait a minute, the 30th is Wednesday. So Thursday would be the 3rd, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I was a day ahead of myself. The day is the 28th, you're correct. I was a day ahead. All right, sorry. All right, so you got a weekend crowd that'll be attending as well.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I believe.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All right, yeah, you got a weekend. Not the whole weekend, but you got a week, part of a weekend. And this is in Miami. Miami is that's densely populated. I know it's going to be well attended. But I'm just thinking about the politics of Miami. However, once you step outside of Dade County, you'll be able. Well, you know what? I'm sure they're going to have some politicians there, so let me not jinx it or whatever. But I'm pretty sure you'll have. It'll be well attended because you're coming down there with a solution. That's for sure. Now the raffle that you guys were talking about. Is that in the works for this event? Or it's going to be for future events?
I just heard about it yesterday, so we haven't even considered it. I was in a clubhouse room and somebody mentioned it. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's the way to do it. That's, you know, raffles. You have to be a nonprofit to do a raffle.
Yeah, Chris has got that. A friend of mine up in D.C., he's got a nonprofit, too, that he's had for probably over 15 to 20 years.
Like
I said, you got the partnership there already, so that sounds like a no-brainer.
But I guess the question is, if you're raffling off a house, it would have to be at a certain location, obviously. I'm not sure. I can see a car works because you can move it, right?
I think anything could work. I mean, I'm sure they have rules and regulations for this state by state. Well, our first hurdle is if you partner up with a nonprofit, that's the first hurdle. And then check with they have the rules on the books, man. I guess it's just a phone call to see. I mean, what you guys are talking about raffling off a greenhouse.
We can raffle. No, this is it. We can raffle off a. Chris already has the model where we go there and build it. We just raffle that off at any location, and then as long as we can cover the airfare and the travel there, we're good to go. And then we build it in that community, and that community now knows how to do it. So next time they could just buy one and build it themselves, and it's a win-win for everybody.
Right. There you have it. Yeah, because the raffle would be a good way. It's good for exposure and awareness. So I think that's an excellent Man, that's why I love Clubhouse, man. You don't know what you'll get out of Clubhouse.
They raffle off a dream house here in Bloomington, Illinois every year. And they sell 3,000 tickets at $100 a piece. And you get a $300,000 home.
Okay, well. It's like I say, it's a tested and proven. It's a proven. Proof of concept. So the raffle strategy works. It's not new. It does work, and I'm sure it'll work beautifully on Dream Press.
You know, if we sell 4,000 tickets at $20 a ticket. You know, that covers everything plus the greenhouse and double, you know, we get double basically. And now that can get reinvested in the nonprofit for the next, you know, now we're set up. You know, we don't have to get in bed with the vultures, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right, right. That's an excellent idea. Excellent. Simple to do, not complicated. You'll meet other nonprofits when you're in Miami. That's the beauty of doing the work that you guys are doing. When you go to an event like that, you meet people.
No.
Things happen that you just cannot anticipate that are all good.
Well, I'm going to reach out to the nonprofit that's doing the raffle of the trucks, since they've already got it working, right? We can learn from them. We're on the same mission, and we could do a raffle. You know, they're helping homeless vets, so why not do it in Pennsylvania for them, right? In other words, they're already doing it for homeless vets in Pennsylvania.
You know what?
We'll just say the next raffle is going to be for a greenhouse.
Right. You know what? There are – talk about social capital. You're absolutely right, Carlos. There are organizations in every state – that would buy that, what you're talking about. So is that, like you said, reach out to as many nonprofits as you can and you go from there.
And it's a win-win for everybody, right? You know, they sponsor us, and, you know, we can split the nonprofits can share, you know, and help each other. And I think it's a win-win for everybody that way.
It is. It definitely is. All right. Well, whatever room you got that out of, that you're in the right room at the right time. So, I'll put that in my notes. Now I'll be doing my homework on that as well myself. All right. I know you guys are on the road today. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to cut our time here a little short today because you guys are on the road. And I know you had a Thanksgiving weekend. So I'm going to give you guys the last word. Chris, we'll start with you.
All right. Well, you know, definitely I enjoy, you know, having this purpose to get up and have a discussion. You know, I'm thankful for you having this platform that you've been, you know, so diligently working for so long, and I didn't know if we had anybody that came in on the call list that wanted to ask any questions or anything, but we definitely are still looking for that challenge to be accepted of where we're going after Miami, and I wound up having a conversation this morning. We've got 100 acres, and they're going to donate the first 5 acres, and it's right outside Fort Myers. And it come through my search and rescue team, and I spoke with him this morning also, so I'm going to let you know, Carlos. He wants to meet you as well. So he was listening Friday to the show.
Awesome. No, I would be honored to meet the search and rescue dudes.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, you're you know, where I'm just talking about one of the teams, but we have so many, and they all need to be thanked because they do it selflessly, and most of them do it free. They do not get necessarily paid to do what they do. They do it because people are in need and they know what to do. And, you know, they were protecting us. A lot of them, you know, are our military. But a lot of them are just people as well. Because all of you are amazing. Everybody that's listening, everybody that's not listening. And you have so much potential. And I would love to see what we do together. And, you know, I'm thankful for Carlos and Doug. They're out here on the road. You know, they're doing it. They're doing what they have an opportunity to do, because this is where everyone gets an opportunity. And I just appreciate it. I appreciate you, LA, for having this and letting me get on here and share with you and just try to inform people. You know, this is about.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the primary reasons why I'm gonna cut it short today is that idea is so powerful of the raffle. I'm going to call two people that I know up in the DMV area. Both have nonprofits. One, his organization is called the Green Scheme. So that runs right on time with a greenhouse.
Yes, all right. It does.
So I'm going to call them and arrange at least one of them on here tomorrow so we can meet, so they will meet the challenge. And then I'm going to see who else I can drum up to me, because like we saw last week, I done got the calendar out. I want to, not only I want to book things for next year, but I'm going to see what we can get done this, well, not this month, which is November, December as well, because I'm looking at Christmas Day as a day. That's all it is, one day. New Year's Day is a day. That's it. So, and I'm willing to, you know.
I should mention, we need to do a few raffles, and I'll tell you why. The patent portfolio on the buildings is coming up on December 22nd. I have to protect the buildings. We protected the greenhouses all over the world, but the buildings are going to be worth way more than the greenhouses. And on the 22nd of December is my drop dead date to file in the rest of the world that we want protection in. And, you know, from the commercial end, that's going to be huge. If we can make that filing and protect, say, Europe, Australia, Brazil, it's like $150,000.
You know what I got? I have boots on the ground in not Australia. Actually, I do. My ex-wife lives in Australia. But I know people boots on the ground in Australia. I know people boots on the ground in Brazil as well.
This is what I can offer them. We have a granted U.S. patent on the buildings. We can offer them the rights for their particular country, and all they have to do is pay for the patent filing and then a percentage, and they can have the whole entire region. Because, you know, if I don't get the money, I lose those regions. You know, it's a drop-dead date. If you don't file by that date, you lose it. Now think about Dubai. You know, those countries really, 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 really need this technology. It would be a huge shame to miss out on those markets and not file in those regions, because, you know, that IP is going to be worth billions.
Okay,
Carl, you know,
send me on Clubhouse, send me on my back channel those particular countries or regions. Send me on when you get time. No, you know, because I know you're on the road right now. Send me those places on the back channel. And I like the idea of multiple places. So one of the reasons why I'm logging off early today is because I want to get to work on this. So we'll probably with this show, we never have a set time. This live stream can go from 1 to 2 minutes to 2.5 hours. I just go with the flow. But based on the raffle idea, That ties into what a lot of stuff I wanted to. So that's why I'm cutting it short today. But send me that on the back channel. And, you know, like I say, you guys,
you got it,
I mean, thank you for calling in on the road. And, Chris, you're preparing to get on the road to take a flight out.
So, look, first of all, I want to thank you, L.A., for you and Chris. You know, I met Chris. Chris, connected us, and we're connected for a reason, and I could not be happier. You know, I could not be happier. So
thank you for everything
you've been doing for 9 years, brother. I really mean that. You know,
well, I can't thank you guys enough.
Yeah, this is
I can't thank you guys enough.
This is
you two are like a Christmas present before Christmas. That's all I can say. So on that note, when you said raffle, that did it for me. All right, so safe travels on the way down 95. Chris, safe flight tomorrow. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.
All right, brother, you too.